So we've had quite a few weeks after the election, and you sent a letter out to...
an email, which we often do, to a wide variety of our past attendees and people who are interested in the Ideas Festival at the Aspen Institute. So, you know, constituents and supporters, just to let them know how we're thinking about the festival this year and that we're taking the issues very seriously. We started to market the festival, and we are half sold out already. Obviously, since that time, the election has taken place, and I think it was a surprise to many. And we're going to be very, very thoughtful about how we address some of the issues that are coming up that are going to be defined by the next president. So we're going to be careful and deliberate, and not that we aren't always, but I wanted to make a point that we're very, very serious about being balanced and also being flexible. Sometimes people have sort of expectations that all of our speakers will be asked right away and that, you know, we'll have everything lined up in the next, you know, month and a half. And I wanted to make sure that people understand that we are really convening in a deliberate way to make sure that we're addressing the right issues per our program tracks.
That's partly a result of the election. I mean, how much would it have changed if the results had gone the other way?
It really would depend on the nature of that result. I think that we were all expecting that Secretary Clinton would win in a way. I mean, I think the polls indicated that. There was just a huge, stunning surprise, as
right.
all the headlines suggested. And yet, the nature of this victory, with her being the popular vote winner, and not by a little, by a lot, I just want to be sure that we're addressing the right questions. Should we talk about the Electoral College, and should we have the right people debating that? And Mr. Trump has already suggested some things that are kind of new in the system. And, for example, one of the tracks that we have that is a reflection of the election debate is Making It in America, which is a kind of a play on words. Can we actually physically make things in America, which is what his point was in Indianapolis? And can people make it anymore into the middle class? So we're going to really look at that. Now, you know, by the time the Ideas Festival happens, and I think Hillary would have had a very different approach to this than he, will he be going company by company, or will he actually be doing, which I doubt, I mean, everybody said that's pretty fairly impractical, but
yeah.
Unpredictable. You know, he has definitely a different way of doing things, and I guess my point is we're going to pay a lot of attention and really ask even harder questions than I think I was prepared maybe to ask before. And I think we've also had some feedback since we started marketing from members of our board and others on the way, and irregardless of the election, on the way to structure the festival, which is to have more debate. And, for example, we should have a really good debate on the subject of trade. We probably want to build debate into all of our, you know, really thorough debates, Carolyn, into all of our sessions. Maybe
yeah.
there's not a great debate to be had about creativity, which is one of our tracks, but there probably is some pretty good debates about artificial intelligence and its impact on jobs, which was a topic that wasn't addressed in the election at all, but actually is an enormous issue in America when it comes to jobs in the future, because a lot of them could be replaced by machines.
Sure.
And the question is, how soon is that coming and all of that? And in part, Carolyn, I know that there are many who feel that because of our speaker ranks last year, we had Joe Biden, we had Loretta Lynch, we had John Kerry, major members of the outgoing administration, that we make sure that we have, you know, members of the current administration coming in if we can, or people that certainly reflect their positions, and that sometimes it looks like from our speaker roster, even though we also had Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, it still feels to people like we lean too liberal.
Well, sure, they were the minority then. Now that party is the majority.
Correct. And so, I mean, the behind the scenes issues around the Aspen Institute and the Ideas Festival is that what people don't know is who we do ask and who we get rejected. We don't talk about the people that can't come. We only talk about the people that can. So it's not for lack of trying that
sure.
we would try to get Mitch McConnell, and we've asked him every year for several years. to join us. Now, maybe his wife, who was Secretary of Labor, has been on our stage. She's now going to be Secretary of Transportation, and maybe the two of them will come.
Does he ever give a reason as to why?
Don't come?
Yeah.
It has a lot to do with schedules. I mean, our event is right before the July 4th holiday break, and a lot of members of Congress can't come.
Sure.
So when it comes to business leaders, they pick their schedules long, long in advance, and we are hot on the trail of some top CEOs that can address some of the economic questions. I mean, the good news right now is we have Jeff Immelt from GE coming, and we have Jenny Romney, who runs IBM, coming, and they've never been before to the Ideas Festival. So that is actually great, and I think we'll see a number of other ones. We're working with Facebook and other, you know, social media companies for sure, because we need to really get into this question about what constitutes news anymore. So there's so many interesting issues that are coming up right now.
It's a great conversation.
I wanted to make sure that everybody understands how seriously we're taking these issues, because things are going to shift.
Sure. And I think when you talked about, you know, we need to maybe have more debate, I think even as a news organization and as a radio station here, we are looking at how we are going to frame debates and the conversation and recognize our differences and figure out how we can all be having a good, solid conversation despite where we're coming from.
Right. Personally, and I think if there's one thing that I've learned from, you know, reading about this election and reading and listening to the voices, that NPR, for example, has done really spectacular research on this, going around the country and talking to people on both sides of the aisle and people that voted across the aisle from their own party, that people's stories are very different. And to reflect that and in trying to understand those that we don't necessarily understand in Aspen because we fall into a certain level of affluence, et cetera, and so forth, we've created a track called The America I Know, and this will be across the entire week. And our goal there is to really listen to voices of people that represent unemployed workers or workers who've had to be retrained, people who represent those constituents. I listened to a really fascinating report on NPR the other night about the town of Wabash, Indiana, and how young people just don't want to live there. They want to move to the city. And so it's not that they're not jobs in some of these rural communities. It's that young people want a more exciting life, and they read about it, and they want to go there. And I want to make sure that we're listening to these kinds of perspectives, and certainly I would like to have somebody represented from Monroe County where they've lost the steel business in Ohio and what they're hoping will come back. And we're going to be working with news outlets to cover these conversations and really try to find the ideas, for example, that will try to bridge the divide, understand and drive economic growth. And then, you know, typically to deal with things like genetics. Lots of fascinating issues in artificial intelligence that are brought up in genetics and other tracks that we're going to look at. But I think this election has got a lot of people on serious introspection on both sides of the aisle. And there's some deep issues that I think we really want to attack. And so I guess your point about my missive was to make sure that people understand what we're about and that we will really strive to make those kinds of issues come alive here and have serious, good conversation.
Right. So these themes, the America I know, making it in the USA, global conflicts, which certainly will now, things shift as President-elect Trump builds his cabinet, picks his Secretary of State. He made the statement that we don't care about what happens outside of our borders. We care about America first. Certainly would emerge in conversation or debate about global conflicts.
Yeah, and what our role in America, in the world should be, that is definitely something we'll examine. And, you know, your listeners can email us. I'd be very curious. We've been thinking about these issues around climate change, and the president-elect has very different views of this and obviously is hiring somebody in the EPA who feels it's, you know, misplaced and is going to roll back some regulations. we're thinking about how to have that debate and whom to invite and what kind of aspect of that debate, and do we acknowledge that there could be an issue even in trying to be as nonpartisan as possible? Do we even acknowledge that the climate naysayer, the climate worriers are wrong, that actually there's not a problem? I mean, we are struggling with that, because I will tell you that my own personal view and the way we've behaved in the last several years around talks about climate is that we don't accept that this is not an issue. We have accepted the fact that this is an issue.
Right.
Now there are a lot of people that will be represented in government who feel that it is not an issue. And so we're asking ourselves, how do we embrace the possibility that this is not an issue? So, again, I think we're trying to take these things very seriously, and we do have, you know, ways of going about it. We're working. We always ask advisors to support ideas and topics and give us thoughts about people that should address them. And we're going through that process now, reaching out to conservatives, for example, to support us in thinking about hotspots and how do we move ahead, about security, about the political spectrum, but also, you know, liberal thinkers. So we'll have balance in who's advising us. We'll have balance in who's thinking about the way to create the debates. And we will work very hard to make sure we have really rigorous debate with the right people on either side of it. But I think it's kind of an exciting moment to be doing this.
Well,
we will have the kinds of speakers that we had last year in the form of the Attorney General or the Secretary of State or the Vice President, because frankly, those people in the new administration won't have time to come. And when you have an outgoing administration, it's a little bit easier to, you know, get people to say yes.
Sure.
But,
of course, you also time it when there are Supreme Court decisions.
Yes, we'll be talking about the Supreme Court and what that means and what the future of that looks like.
That's interesting.
So,
what's going to happen then?
I think been different conversation under Hillary than it's going to be now, and what the next 4 years of court appointments could look like if, in fact, some other members of the court retire. So it's a really, really interesting time.